like, let's do a weed mom group, basically. And our thought process behind it was, let's create a space where like-minded moms can come together and you don't have to worry about the stigma.
This is the Cannamom Show, a podcast chronicling the inspiring stories of real women in the emerging cannabis industry. Your host, Joyce Gerber, mom, lawyer, political activist, has been speaking with women from coast to coast and around the world who are leaders in the revolution of cannabis and caregiving. Continuing on her mission to lift up the stories of the women creating the cannabis industry by sharing their canna stories with you. So go make yourself a cup of tea or roll yourself a joint, sit back, and learn something new about this magical plant on The Canna Mom Show with Joyce Gerber.
From the Tip O'Neill Studios in North Cambridge, Massachusetts, it's The Canna Mom Show. Now here's your host, Joyce Gerber.
And welcome back to The Canna Mom Show. I'm Joyce Gerber, and we are so grateful you're joining us again as we continue in our mission of crushing that stigma around cannabis and caregivers. So let's see, Dave. I got some international cannabis news.
Oh, let me quickly go to our international correspondent. Okay, what is it?
Here we are. International cannabis news. Yesterday or last week, it was announced that Morocco's first legal cannabis harvest was 294 metric tons in 2023 after the country approved its cultivation and export for medicine and industrial uses, cannabis regulator ANRAC said. The harvest was made by 32 cooperatives that brought together 430 farmers covering 277 hectares in northern mountain areas and all these words I can't pronounce, according to Reuters. So there you go. I think it's still not legal technically in Morocco, but they're exporting it to other people.
How is that kosher? How are they getting away with it, I guess, per their government?
But well, yeah.
Maybe we don't care. That just happens.
Well, the reason it's illegal everywhere in the world is basically because of American international treaties or something. I don't really understand how we did this, but, you know, everyone knows it's useful and then they can make money off it. And now they can make money off it, not just illegally, they can actually tax it, which is really what, you know, why governments want it to be legal.
Mm. There's a new newish TV show on Netflix that covers the business of cannabis rather heavily in the UK. It's fiction. It's called The Gentleman. It's director Guy Ritchie. It's very good. And it just has to do with, it imagines that these estates, the dukes and duchesses, the royalty of the UK, all have secret cannabis factories. Well, many of them have secret cannabis factories underneath their estates. So I recommend that.
That's our culture corner. That's great. I'll say the name again.
Wait a minute.
The Culture Corner.
The Culture Corner.
The Culture Corner.
The name of the show is The Gentleman from director Guy Ritchie. It's an 8-episode short TV series, and you can find it on Netflix.
I love that. Thanks. Look at you contributing to this show. thank you. All right. that's awesome. All right. One more thing before we get to the guest. Of course, the Hemp Guitar Campaign is in full swing. I just dropped off postcards and mints because my swag this year has been mints at the Goods Dispensary in Somerville, Massachusetts, where we will be displaying it in April. We got a new video launched. I showed a little bit of it last week. They'll be showing it at the dispensary, and you can see it on our YouTube channel. So if you want to win it, go to Lambkin Guitars, go to our website. We're going to have a new landing page hopefully this week. I have it set up. I know nothing about technology, but it should be up this week. So you can go to our website. You can go to Lambkin Guitars. You can go in person and see it in Somerville, Massachusetts. And on April 20th, Dave and I will be together at the Goods Dispensary and announcing the winner. So it could be yours. And of course, this is to gain support for all the mission work we're doing here at the Canna Mom Show and to continue on our work. So please support us. And this could be something you have in your little collection and you'll remember it forever as supporting the Canna Mom Show mission of crushing cannabis stigma.
So will the hemp guitar be there with us?
Yes. Yes, it will be. And the maker of the hemp guitar will be there. That was late breaking news last week. So maybe he'll play it.
Excellent.
And maybe he'll do that. All right. It's out there, people. It's fun. And it's heading up to 420. I'm going to Nikon this week, which is actually last week because we were confusing when we released this. So cannabis season is popping up and we're heading towards our national holiday of 420. So I'll see you at the Goods Dispensary and hopefully you'll be part of our campaign. Love to have you part of our team.
420, Snoop Dogg's half birthday.
Yeah. We discovered that a while
Coincidence?
Ago.
Coincidence?
I don't know. I don't know, Dave. I don't know. It's all connected. All right. Thank you again for indulging in my weird topics of discussion. All right. Today, we do have some guests, so I'm excited to introduce them to you today. Today, we have two guests joining us from Missouri, where they are just a couple of St. Louis Cannamoms who enjoy consuming cannabis. These two ladies started the St. Louis Cannamoms to give mothers a chance to get out and enjoy cannabis at monthly events, which range from yoga to brunch to arts and crafts to tattoo pop-ups. They reached out to me on Instagram when I've been following their fun events, and I'm so glad they could finally join us today to talk about their mission, their friendship, and of course, what it's like to be pioneering Midwestern Cannamoms. Please welcome to the Cannamom Show, Kimberly Kesterson and Jessica Carroll. Welcome, ladies.
Hi.
Hello.
All right, let's just do a quick intro to say hello, your name, and maybe as Cannamoms, how old are your kids? How many do you have? Maybe just a quick little thing.
All right, so my name is Kim. I am 30 years old. I have four children, three girls. They are 11. Then I have twins that are 5. And then my last is my son, and he just turned 2.
All right.
And I'm Jessica Carroll. I am 32 years old and I have 2 kids. Both are girls and they are 6 and 4. So it's a fun time.
All right, so you got little kids. All right. So I always say I had my cannabis awakening when my kids were older, but this has been part of your life. So before we get to what you're actually doing out there, what's the legal? So every state is different. We all have a legal status. It's different. So what is going on out there in your state? What is the status right now? And yeah, maybe just a little bit of that.
We are medical and recreational. We went medical about 3 to 4-ish years ago at this point, and we are in our first year of recreational. So we're coming up on our second 420 recreational, and we are excited.
That is good. So is Missouri a vote, people vote, a legislative vote? How did it become legal for adult use recreational? Was that a ballot question?
I am so anti-politics that I didn't even, and with me being so into cannabis, you'd think that I would have at least got up to vote for that, but I didn't. So I don't know the answer to that question, but right, whoever it is, they made it happen.
All right, so it's not very long, 2 years. Like in Massachusetts, it was the people voted on it, which always surprised me. So it's coming through in different ways, but every state is sort of adapting it somehow. Okay. Let's just start in the beginning. How did you meet and how did you both know you had, was it always over cannabis or did you find cannabis later? Well, kind of what's your story?
So yeah, it was always over cannabis. We started working at a basically loan collection agency together. And from there, we took lunch breaks together. And this was long before we both had kids. But I fell pregnant and she was feeding me every day. I just took care of her. He took care of me. We would go every Wednesday. We would watch American Horror Story together. She was the very first friend that met my daughter, my oldest, who's 11 now. And life just kind of drifted us apart for no particular reason. And so we kind of lost contact with each other. And then fast forward to about 2 years ago, we both got hired again at the same place, Phil State Dispensary. And from there, we've just kind of rekindled our flame. It's been inseparable, basically.
All right. So that's okay. So can we just talk about being like motherhood and things? So again, my story is I thought it killed brain cell. I thought it was dangerous. I should have used cannabis when my kids were little. I probably would have liked them better. I say this all the time. But there's a huge stigma out there. I'm 58. I could have walked into my kid's school and had a big giant I'm a wine mom t-shirt and would have been applauded, but I definitely could not have walked in saying I was a Cannamom. So you're much younger than me. I don't know what it was like. So how was it sort of for you when you were sort of in this space of being a pregnant woman, a human carrying a baby, as I like to say? And also cannabis, were you part of your life? Did you use it for any kind of like nausea? Was that sort of thing? And did you have to hide it? Like how did it work in those years?
So for me, I've been using cannabis since I was about 12. My goal and my intention when I got pregnant was to stop smoking, but I had such bad nausea up until basically the third trimester with my first child. And cannabis was the only thing that got me up out of bed, basically the only thing that would stop the nausea, that would hold my stomach over enough to be able to get something in there. I mean, I was even on medication and the medication did not work the way that cannabis did. So I actually was open with my cannabis use because they're going to see it when in the blood tests. And that actually bit me in the butt because the hospital that I delivered at is in the religious aspect or whatever lack of word I'm looking for there, but they are religious. And so I actually was visited by Child Protective Services with my first one. They let me know that because she had cannabis in her system, in her blood, that they would be coming in a home visit. They let me know that in the hospital. And it was scary. They made me feel like I did something wrong when in reality, there's other moms out here doing a lot worse of things to their bodies, unfortunately.
And wait, actually, I will say, I just talked to last week, though, when I spoke to her in Massachusetts, this is the thing we've been talking about, ad nauseum. There's a known harm for alcohol. Nobody tests for alcohol. We don't know. We assume there, I mean, I'm on the side of there isn't harm, but honestly, we don't know, but we haven't seen anything. But for them to continue testing and then involving child services, filing 51As on women because it's child endangerment, it's got to stop. And I know here in Massachusetts, the fight has been hospital by hospital, which is just absurd. So I don't know how we fix this, but I hear it across the board. And it's a real problem for, it's unnecessary. It's an unnecessary expense to involve children's services in a woman's life who is using cannabis. And especially now that it's medical and we have resources to say, I'm using this under supervision. And if you believe, if you're a doctor or a nurse who has a misunderstanding of what cannabis does, you are not allowed to file a 51A. That is not your right. So yeah. I don't know how to fix this, but I keep hearing this. So I'm sorry to hear that happened to you.
And yeah. It started with the doctor. I'm a heavily tattooed person. I've lived the alternative lifestyle, if you will. And she always made me feel uncomfortable. And it did start with her. She sent in the blood work, whereas I changed doctors with the second one, delivered at the same hospital, and I had no issues whatsoever because I was open with him and he understood the benefit of cannabis. So that I had the DFS come to the house that first week as a newborn mother, and I was terrified. I had postpartum extremely bad, and that situation was horrible for me. She came in and she just stepped in the doorway and she immediately said, we're okay here. And I said, please come look at her room. It was decorated that we obviously prepared for a child. And she said, oh, honey, I don't even need to. And I said, wait, what? And she goes, you've got electric. I can see here that you've got water. I can tell with, and I was just like, ooh. And it never crossed my mind that there are moms that are bringing children into homes without electricity and things like that. So, I mean, she was in and out and I never heard from her again. And like I said, with my second child, I was honest with the doctor and had no issue whatsoever. Kim also, as well, if I'm not mistaken, had the same story almost with hers, and I'll let her take over on that.
Yeah, basically the same thing. My first doctor flagged my report.
So you had your first child, you were young. So this must have been very scary. And did you have any idea that this would happen to you? Had you any sense of like what would happen once you went into the medical system with a child?
Yeah, I was 18. I honestly was going through a really bad relationship with the father of my child and just being young and trying to figure out like what I was going to do. And so like that is why I utilized cannabis during that first pregnancy, because I was just like in a very depressive state. And they came, told me that they were coming the next day. When we got home, same story. She was just like, okay. And her words to me were, in Missouri, we don't take marijuana babies from moms because we would have way too many kids and the system. And so as long as like you can prove that you have a clean house and that you're prepared for the baby, then whatever. And I know that there's been a couple other people.
Why test? There isn't a danger. You know what? Yes. I keep thinking, this is what I keep saying, actually. If we allowed women who are using cannabis instead of using other medications to maintain their own health and the health of their bodies so that they can carry a human being. And we were open, and then we could actually take data. We could follow these children. We could see what's going on with them. Yeah. So that's
St. Louis University is actually doing. They're doing a study right now, and they have been in terms of taking up with these moms when they're pregnant, following them after the birth, and following these kids to see if there's any big difference.
Yay.
So I'm super excited that
is really good.
My city is a part of that.
Well, you're checking. The point of the test is just to prevent child endangerment. But we don't know if there's a danger. I assume there isn't a danger. And again, back to alcohol. Fetal alcohol syndrome is a real danger. We know that exists. But unless you come in drunk, they're not going to test for it. And they're not going to come into your house. The idea that cannabis is being mistreated.
Years ago.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So you've kind of both been through this thing, which is not great. All right. All right. So when you came back together like 2 years later, was this a topic of discussion or was it more just like, I'm so great to see you, we should do something with our friends? Or how did the Facebook group start and like how did that move forward?
We like to call it a hi-dia. Kimberly one day. Kimberly has always been big on social media. She's just a force to be reckoned with.
Okay.
And she started mom groups before that have done really well. I think the first one, what was Bottles? You know the name.
I don't.
Bottles and wine. Like that.
Yeah.
And wine or something.
Okay.
And it's just one of those that it took off on its own and she didn't really harvest it or anything. It's just organic and it got out there. I actually left it because it turned into one of those mom groups that I didn't like. So when she was like, let's do a weed mom group, basically. And our thought process behind it was, let's create a space where like-minded moms can come together and you don't have to worry about the stigma. So one of the hardest things as a mom who does use cannabis is breaking that ice, breaking that question. Mm-hmm. Because if another mom is not cannabis friendly, your kids are never seeing each other again.
Especially with me having an older daughter. So her friends, they're like, what's that smell? Or what's your mom always going in the garage for? So I don't ever want to be the reason why a friendship can't happen because my kids' friends' parents are judging me or thinking that.
I got to say, that is such an interesting way to look at this whole sort of like shift on like the mom and dad are consuming cannabis and the kid, you might embarrass the kids, right? It used to be like the kids are sneaking away somewhere and like, oh my God.
No, now it's us.
That's you. Now it's your problem. It's you. Okay. all right. So you put it out there. Did you know other cannabis moms at the time? Was it something you were
We've consumed since we were kids. I'm from the town that I'm in, born and raised kind of thing. She just moved out of here not too long ago, probably about 2 years ago, 3 years ago at this point. So we know a lot. And what just started as a little group of like 20 moms, basically ones that we knew from high school kind of thing, we decided like, let's throw a blunt brunch and mimosa day. And it was a cold as hell December day, I think.
It was August or September.
And we decided just to see, because we had a decent sized group, we were like, let's see what we can do. Like, we need to get out and meet people because we are so antisocial and have really bad social anxiety. So we're like, screw it. Let's just see how it goes. And it was well received. I mean, it sold out very, very quickly. And the moms were shocked for another one.
So I've done some things out here. Again, I say these stories are the most powerful thing to change hearts and minds. My own mother really thought I was like in a drug cartel. She did not understand what I was doing. And I had to tell people that
I was smoking dope. And I'm like, mother, you cannot tell people that.
We're going to get back to family
in a minute. But this idea that like these events are really powerful. Like I did a high tea and people came to it who may or may not have been in the industry, like family members. And they could see it was not what they thought it was. It wasn't like dudes on a couch with playing really loud, whatever. It was a lovely event and the ladies all like cannabis. So tell me a little bit about what you're doing, what people are asking for, what are popular things. Just tell me what's going on out there in your community. Yeah.
So it's, we're very fluid. I mean, it's a, we have a lot of ideas. If I want to do something, I'm going to try to figure out a whole event so everybody else can. So like,
yeah,
we've done the yoga ones and we've done tattoo ones.
Pottery.
I think the one that we're working on right now is just like a meditation relaxation day.
And
like
we're inner child healing.
And do some coloring books.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do some self-care.
Be in nature.
Yoga.
So are you connected? So are there dispensaries that are open now, right, in Missouri?
Yes.
So are you connected with any dispensaries? Are they, again, I think women are the market.
Yes.
I'm not sure they're really marketing to us correctly, but if we know a product that works, we will get it. So how are you working with maybe some of the dispensaries and helping them see this, these people that they might not necessarily see, and helping your people access it, too? That's the other thing.
So Kimberly and I, that's where we rekindled. We rekindled at Feel State Dispensary in Florissant. So that's where our home base is. They fully support us in everything that we do. So we shout them out as much. We do collaborations where we have like business cards, if you will. But on those business cards, it's buy anything at Feel State, get a Wana 2-pack of gummies for free, or buy anything at Feel State, get a pre-roll for a penny. So we
you're deep in the marketing kind of part of it. So
I know,
but
yeah.
We're top. All right. So marketing is really hard. This is one of the big issues in cannabis. I take a lot of my friends to dispensaries because it still feels very uncomfortable and there's so many products and you're not sure what to buy. So tell me more about but tell me more about your dispensary that you're working on, maybe like where they're coming from, their angle, and like maybe how you're working with this population that's coming in that may be curious but doesn't know really what they need. Yeah.
So that's where our events really shine. I'll let her handle the dispensary aspect.
Okay.
But that's kind of like another reason why we host those events, because it is giving the moms a chance to try a different way to consume in a safe environment around other women. We're all moms, that we're going to all mom each other and take care of each other. Even though we had mimosas at our first event, we really try to keep them alcohol free because we want moms to understand that there are other ways you can have fun.
Oh, that's
without,
smart.
You know, being intoxicated.
Smart. That's very smart.
Yeah.
Because it feels comfortable. Like it feels comfortable, mimosas, but it's not. That's good. That's good. I like that.
Yeah. Well, and I'm 2 years sober, too. So that's one thing that, like, I really, really hope for is to show moms that you can be Cali sober and still have such a good time. Booze is not necessary at all. Booze does not make you a better parent. I've never once when I was drinking been like, whoa, yeah, I did really good because of this blunt, or I mean because of this beer, whereas I'm like, whoo, I did really good on this coloring book in this color session with them because of this blunt.
And I'm and you're in the moment, you're in the moment with them, which is really all what your kids want anyway. So
Our events also give moms the opportunity who have not been into a dispensary to see products that they that we do carry in the dispensary. And as far as like what sets Feel State apart from other dispensaries, and I've worked in another dispensary and I've been to many, so I think I have a pretty good understanding, and it's not just me tooting their horn. We really, really care about patients and education. That's one thing that sets us apart. We're one of the only dispensaries that offered consultations and actually followed through with them. We will spend 2 seconds at the register in and out for a pickup order with you if you want, or we'll spend an hour, 45 minutes with you at getting to what works best for you. And that's one thing, like it warms my heart and it makes me feel so good to know that we are a part of Feel State because they truly, truly care. And one thing about us too is because we are, we're from North County is what we call it. It's not the highest income area. A lot of people from around look down on us kind of thing. So it's just nice to have something nice like that in a town where normally it wouldn't be a thing.
But
see all avenues.
So is it similar to see what's happening in Massachusetts? We have to have host agreements with each community. So there's tax revenue going back to them. Is that how it's working where you are too?
Sure.
So again, dispensaries are good neighbors. Like seriously, they're good neighbors. Yep. They are healing.
We have done a lot for the community.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit maybe about, I know like beverages are coming very much popular out here. I like flower myself. I don't know. What are things that you think are coming into the market that you think are really good out there? So maybe something specific to Missouri. I have no idea if they have their own jam.
So I would say, I mean, we've got we've got a lot on the market, but I think the coolest thing right now that they have is dissolvable THC powder that's flavorless. So you can put it in anything.
And like salad dressing.
Mixing it with coffee, that is such a fun morning. It's like a powder. So productive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I probably have a packet over there by my coffee maker. It's just a little packet and it looks suspect. It just dissolves into anything, like I said, that you put it on, flavorless, and they're 10 milligram pouches. So you can, you know, dose yourself accordingly if you need more or less thing.
So in Massachusetts, adult use is 5 milligram limits on any kind of edible. Do you have the same thing in Missouri? I know it's ridiculous.
You four things. No. So
Missouri is one of the more relaxed states. We're kind of spoiled out here.
Do you have medical? Do you have still split up medical and adult use in your dispensary?
Yes.
Or is it, okay.
So recreationally, you can buy up to 84 grams a day, and it does not matter if it's flower, edible, whatever. As long it equates to 84 grams, and that's just as recreational.
That's a lot.
So me being a med patient, on top of those 84 a day, I have the exceeded allotment of 20 pounds or not pounds, 20 ounces, 16 or 20 ounces. I don't know.
A pound.
Much.
We're like an ounce. It's an ounce in any kind of product out here, which I actually hadn't recognized. Except the other day, I actually bought like a bunch. I bought an ounce of flour because it was on sale. And then I wanted to get a joint and he told me I couldn't do it.
Yeah,
but I never bought an ounce at any one point, but I'm upping my ante.
Here you can buy
a lot more.
All of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's crazy out here. I mean,
So you know the regs pretty well, even though you say you're not political. So what do you see?
I mean, I kind of have to. With my job, I'm inventory manager, so I don't know a little bit.
But that's kind of the issue, is that these regulations were put in because we treat it like heroin. Everyone believed it was so dangerous, especially the lawmakers who don't know what this is. I'm going down to Washington with a whole coalition on 418 to do a 420 lobby day just to get the talk. The only thing everyone can agree on is to get it off the Controlled Substance Act. There's all sorts of other things going on, but that is one thing that we can agree on.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah. But people like you need to be talking to politicians because you understand what the repercussions are of these ridiculous excessive policies. And especially I talk about women, sort of even women business owners. Like you can't bring, I don't know how it is there, you cannot bring your children into the dispensary. So if you have you can.
So
people should be following Missouri. I think
the laws are a little open for interpretation. So at Field State, we are one of the only dispensaries that will let you bring your children in. But we have come up with our own stipulations. Like if you look like your child looks like they're probably old enough to have like a school ID, they're going to have to wait in the car. But if they're younger, where they can't be left in the car alone safely, then they're able to come in.
Huh.
And we're working on getting like curbside. We're working on finding a location with drive-through to make it easily accessible. But that is one thing, too, that sets Beale State apart so much in the parenting community, is because we do allow you to bring your children in and we don't make you feel bad about them. If they get loud and rambunctious, we're loud and rambunctious with them.
All right. That is
make
really
it
interesting.
Feel comfortable.
So whatever legislator has gone through, that's not, no one is prohibited from taking children in. They're not. It's just the policy
it's loosely written.
Yeah. But the policies of most dispensaries here, based on whatever the regulations are, is that you cannot bring children in because whatever, it's a endangerment. But again, like women who are working, the women in Massachusetts literally have to rent another space if they have after school or childcare issues because they can't bring them into the dispensary where they work. Or if they work in a very more of a congested area, they can send their kids to like another store to hang out and wait for them while they're working. So these are like things that people who are working in the dispensaries like you and see what happens every day can go and tell politicians and policymakers who don't know what they're doing because they still think it's heroin. Which I still don't
mean, she specifically paved the way in Missouri. Maybe unbeknownst to her, really, but she came back to work 5 weeks postpartum, and Mr. Benjamin was in that bouncy seat in the fishbowl checking patients in. So he got to work with, I mean, that's one thing that on our Feel State TikToks and whatnot, you see everybody holding Benjamin. Yeah. Kim's in the bathroom. Okay, well, here, let me get the baby real quick. They just pass him around. Betty's working today.
Yeah. So I would say now in a rec world, probably not.
It's not no more.
Busy. Nope. But yes, when we were just medical and we had very 40 relaxed. 40
patients a day.
Yeah, 40 patients a day max. Yeah, I did. I had him on my little baby carrier because one day my babysitter couldn't watch him for whatever reason. And I was just like, I need adult interaction.
Sorry.
I came along for the ride.
All right. We got to get a more story to talk about. All right. Let's see. I don't know. You did talk a little bit about your advocacy, like wasn't expected to be advocacy as being a mom. Just maybe what surprised you about, so you're in this legal world now. You've been in cannabis for quite a while. You say you really enjoy meeting people, helping people, healing people. That seems to be a theme across the board. Every woman I talk to, I do believe this industry should look differently because she is a caregiver, our plant, and this industry should be run like a caregiver industry. I don't know how to fix that, but I do talk to a lot of you who are trying. So maybe out there in Missouri, maybe what surprised you about how the industry is going and maybe what impact you see moms and the world you've created having on what it's going to look like out there.
What really surprised me is this Facebook group that we created. It was like 200, 300 people who were like, okay, cool. And within a year's time, it grew to like 2,800. And now at a year and a half, we're close to 4,000.
Wow.
And you usually when you're in mom groups, there's always drama, right? There's always somebody trying to point their finger at you and tell you that you're a bad mom. But that like is a very, very rare occurrence in this group. And the way that these women have rallied together and have really created a village, like we have moms that clean other moms' houses. If a mom gets on there and says, I'm going through it right now mentally. I just feel so overwhelmed. I need somebody to help. I'll message you. Or if they're looking for clothes to go to a job interview, or if they need a hot meal, these moms have put in money towards grocery runs. And it just shows like, no, we're not a bunch of moms that sit around and smoke weed. Like we've seriously created such a beautiful and loving village and the friendships that have been created from these events. Like now we have moms that have branched off and they do karaoke night every week, or they go roller skating every week and they met at our events. And just to me, building that sisterhood and building back the it takes a village, it's just,
but you know, also just beautiful.
Seeing
that is also seeing because our group, like you have to answer certain questions to be accepted. You have to be in the St. Louis area. You have to use cannabis. You have to be a mother. And so the fact that in our small area, our 20-mile-ish radius, we have 4,000 women that all have the same thing in common. But you look at all, most of them, you wouldn't be able to tell. I think that
I've seen like the older moms come, like there's a lot of, I mean, there's a woman that I've gotten really close to. She's my mom's age and I love her. We go on sushi dates together and just like to learn from her. I love that. But then I also love that I have moms that are younger than me who like reach out to me about breastfeeding advice. Cause I'm a huge advocate about breastfeeding. I breastfed my twins for 2 years. So like I wanted to make a change. Yeah, I went to school for it. I wanted to make a change in that aspect. I'm able to take the two things that I love the most, just like helping moms with breastfeeding and being a voice for them and advocating for them and cannabis and then putting it together. It's my sweet spot.
But again, you guys are, you're healthy. I'll say this world of women I'm meeting, they are staying in this industry, even though it's very hard. You see all the problems with it, but they are healthy and they're healed and they found a real strong community, which you are talking about yourself. And the plant, for whatever you want to believe, she is sort of sacred. She has done this thing and she can do anything. So I can see how this does create this really happy, nice world, which I want to believe in. And I do talk about like
our little village. It can be.
But it is. You are doing it. I wouldn't have thought this was possible when my kids were little, but I can see how it's healthier and creating a world where women can connect and make something that's really good. So, all right.
And kind of circling back to the original, I just seeing more women, it's starting to happen. We're starting to see more women getting into upper management. And I think that is where we're going to really start to see change. Not that we're superior or anything as a sex, but things do run better when women are in charge of things. I mean,
I think it's a caregiving. I think that if you are a caregiver, you are forced to think of the world in a different way. Oftentimes, yeah, people rise to power in corporate America, they don't have any other responsibilities except for that job. And it makes your perspective really different. So having your perspective in there and allowing you to be there is really important. All right, let's go back to your family. All right, you have kids and you have family. So when you got into this industry, were people like, oh my God, when they knew that you were cannamomming out there in public, were they like, be careful? Like, what was, or were they like all into it? Were they like, you're doing a great job, kids? What was their reaction?
I was super against cannabis. She was actually one of the ones who was like, if I have to take custody of your daughter, then I can, because she thought that she was going to get taken away from me. Now, granted,
that's funny. I'm sorry.
She knows my mom, so it's fine. But now, granted, this was 12 years ago, right? And so she was kind of like planning ahead, like, okay, well, she's got the cider rights over me because the state's going to take her because you've been smoking weed this whole time. And she looked at it in such a negative way. And then when DFS came up to my house and basically told her, like, we don't take babies for that, then her whole perspective changed. And when I got pregnant with my twins, that was a really, really hard pregnancy. And I was super sick. And they try to prescribe you these pills, but if you take them before 9 weeks and your baby comes out with potential heart defects, potential cut lift, and all these problems. But I'm like, but if you smoke cannabis, I don't have to, because what's her name? Durham. She's some doctor. She went to Jamaica and did a study a long, long time ago. I think her name is
all about the studies.
Yeah.
I have heard they have done, again, we're not going to put women in clinical trials, but lots of women are using cannabis during pregnancy. And if they could be open about it and talk about it with their doctors, they could collect data and then they could follow the kids and we could be like, yeah, it's fine. But they're not doing it except for Missouri. Yes. But they are doing it. Anyway, so
yeah, me personally.
So your mom was like, this is dangerous and scary. Where is she now? What does she think now?
She's rooting me on. She has never smoked cannabis. She's always been absolutely no. But she was, oh, I may come to one of your events, and has popped up. We were vending at a place and she popped up and I just thought it was the funniest thing because it's just something. She walked around to every single booth. She would have gave everybody her full attention. Like, she'll earrings.
Again,
like, she really was interested.
We don't know everything, people, to speak, except that you don't know everything. And if you're absolutely positively sure that cannabis is the worst thing ever, you're probably wrong. So step it back a little bit and listen to people around you who are having different experiences. So how was your experience with your family?
I am second generation cannamom, so
okay, nothing.
Not her mom, but
my mom does come to our events. My mom is one of my biggest supporters. My grandparents, they were always super anti, like, I'm the black sheep of the family. I'm the worst. And my mom's the worst because she knew I smoked cannabis and did nothing about it. But now, Grandpa was just in the dispensary last week for edibles so he could sleep better because he's sick of not sleeping. So there's that. I mean, our partners are cannabis consumers as well, so we didn't have to worry about their negative stigma from that. The kids, I mean, I've always been very open.
That's a big part of this. I think it's funny that I do like the personal stories that are changing people's hearts and minds. So the fact that your grandfather could see you maybe finally be like, oh, she looks healthy and she seems okay, maybe I could try it too. So that's, people only want to change their own minds, but they have to have people around them who maybe can help them. So your kids are being raised in a completely different environment. There's lots of children's books out there. You can grow it in your own garden, whatever. So how do your kids know about, and obviously you work in it, so what do they know about it? How they talk about it?
I know all about it. I'm very open with it. When I first started in the industry, when the industry first started, I just told them I worked at a flower shop and that was it. And so they, are you going to a flower shop today? I sure am. And so now, like, they know that mommy's medicine is mommy's medicine. They know not to touch it, not to play with it. If I, for some reason, left it where they have access, they know just to leave it alone. And they will be the first one to tell me, hey, mommy, you're kind of grumpy. Do you need to go take medicine? And I'll be like, you know what? You're right. Give me a few. I'll be right back. And I come back and we're ready to go. What are we making? Are we doing pancakes? Are we doing, like,
That is the best. I've heard it from you, but I've heard it from a couple other people where the kids are like, "Mom, I think you need your medicine," which I think is hysterical because nobody tells their mother to go have a drink ever. No. Go, Mom, have another.
And if they do,
Yeah. All right. So your kids are all good. And Kim, your kids, how do they think?
Yeah. So I'm very open with my kids too. I smoke in the garage. They know when we're out there and that's wild there. My kids are not like hers. They are very curious. And I like to say they're feral. We're simply outnumbered
in a good way.
Yeah. True.
So we have to keep our stuff up, make sure that nothing is opened where they can get into it.
Well, not the older too. So you've got, we're coming into a time where.
Yeah, she's 11 and she was telling me that she wants to be an event planner and decorate for events when she gets older. And so that's her way of saying that she thinks
what she does is really cool.
Yeah, exactly.
But she says she doesn't want to smoke cannabis. So.
Well, she's 11. That's good. Well, I mean, yeah, you should lock your stuff up, people. Your kids are.
We were smoking. So.
Yeah. So funny. I don't know how you put that. Okay. Future. So what's going on? So it's 2024. I know we're out here in Boston. We're having our biggest cannabis conference this week, NECANN. I don't know if they're out in Missouri. What other things are you doing? Are you invited? Are you connected to like big events? Are you just connected to women's events? Do you travel? Yeah. What's coming up for the rest of the year, next year?
We're still growing. We're still figuring it out. We did tell ourselves one of our goals was to get out to more cannabis events, get out and network more. Like we said, we both have anxiety, so it's just getting over that hump and doing it and getting out there. But once we get going, I believe that we'll be in all the bigger events. And we started with a little podunk town, their cannabis little pop-up event, and that's where we did our first like vending, where we just sat. People were like, "What you selling?"
Nothing. We're just telling everybody about
Do you dress up like cannabis fairies or do you like?
That's a good idea. No. So maybe we should. We might get better receiving.
But everyone would
see. Yeah, I have to come in with my little regular mom jeans on. Like, well, I don't know, Mom, you want to join?
There's a lot of events coming up. So our goal, like I said, is to be a part of those and to get our word out.
I play tennis. I wear pearls. I talk about cannabis all day long. It's not necessarily the world that people think it is, but the mom situation is we should be consuming cannabis in a way that could help us. We shouldn't be shamed. I don't think people even know where the shame comes from. So just by you guys existing, you're changing the narrative. I mean, like for real, you're changing the narrative and creating a whole new generation of people that they'll be healthier and we can move on and tackle bigger issues in the world. All right.
Happy, healthy, wealthy. Yeah. The support in the group is just mind blowing.
All right. So just one last question, I guess. So you said you like to go to the garage. Do you have a favorite way to consume? Are you guys bakers? Do you incorporate it in your meals? Like how do you incorporate cannabis into your lives?
I love a good old regular joint, because I have so many kids, can't nobody sit in the garage for a really long time without my kids doing something crazy. So I am a big concentrate head. I just like the quickness of it, the potency. It's just rosin in particular, super clean. I am somebody that struggles with anxiety and panic disorder, and there are certain strains that do bring that out in me and kind of wig me out and put me in a full-blown panic attack. And so just like being able to preach that to moms about like using it for medical reasons and really figuring out like what type of terpenes really work for you and like just different ways. Like I'm a really big on tinctures whenever I'm having anxiety. So just being able to spread that knowledge, because even though we've been smoking for such a young age, I feel like it was very humbling coming in to the industry. Like there's just so much to learn about the medical uses. And I feel like if like more moms knew how to do that, definitely be more peaceful.
Yeah,
I agree.
I mean, what you're doing, just the idea that there's an alternative. I used to say that some of you are evangelized. I think a lot of us are just pissed that we didn't have access to this information before. And now you're out there saying it's complicated. And if anybody tells you they're an expert, they're lying to you, because every single day something is happening. But there are people out there with real knowledge who are staying on top of what's going on. And maybe what we knew 4 years ago really is different than what we know today. But that's the point of science. And we have more products now. And people are drinking it. Like that's a big Beverages are huge out here now for women. It's a little confusing with the whole hemp, Delta 8, Delta 9, Delta 10. That's a whole other level of education that
yeah,
an industry person
started on that.
Still confuses me. It would be simpler if it was just all the plant. She's just the plant, and we could kind of move forward. So you guys are there doing the education for people, because who has time to keep up with all this? And people do need it for health and wellness, sleeping, pain, anxiety, all the things you talked about. All right. So thank you. People want to reach out to you, want to connect with you, want to connect, come and visit your dispensary. What is the best way to find you?
You can follow us on all socials. That would be STL Cannamoms. And if you want to ever try to catch us in person, you can come to Field State Dispensary. We're open from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day. And that's 444 Howdershell Road in Florissant, Missouri.
Yeah. Nice. I was on a TV show about real estate, the Ozarks, the air of the Ozarks. Is that in Missouri?
Oh, yeah.
Ozark.
But, it's a bit, it's like an hour to two-ish away. But yeah, I have done many things at the Ozarks. We've got a lake house down there. I've smoked many blunts on the lake.
That's a cannabis community. I just learned about that place last week. All right. So Missouri, I've actually never been there. Maybe I'll have to make a trip out there.
We're trying to plan a trip. We're trying to plan a Cannamom Lake weekend.
Oh, you are? All right. Because I just talked to a woman at golf. Humboldt County woman was doing a Cannamom retreat out in Humboldt County. We could do these retreats anywhere in the world where it's comfortable and we could have community and sit outside in nature and enjoy cannabis. So thank you, ladies. Thank you for joining me again. So that's the show.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
You're so welcome. All right. So for my guest, Kimberly, I've been calling you Kim, Kimberly and Jessica. And of course, for my Cannabro David Yaz and our Cannamom Show team, I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to the Cannamom Show. We're on a mission to enhance the impact women have on the emerging cannabis industry by sharing and preserving their stories of love, kindness, wisdom, and hope. Thanks for sharing and listening so that together we can crush this stigma around cannabis and caregivers. I'm your host, Joyce Gerber. This is the Cannamom Show, and we are a production of Pod 617, the Boston Podcast Network.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
Season 1 of Dope History is now available at dopehistory.com. Dope History weaves you through the lives of those who have been touched by cannabis or have had an influence on the events that shaped our laws or relationships with this plant. You'll hear tales from Frenchie Cannoli, Keith Strop, Eddie Lepp, Tom Alexander, Ed Rosenthal, Wolf Seagall, Jorge Cervantes, and Tommy Chong. Available now at dopehistory.com.